In the gradual today, we pray, it is good to give praise to the Lord, to show forth thy mercy in the morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Communism, socialism, Nazism, abortion and murder and divorce, unjust lockdowns, if you remember, how could you forget? Forced vaccinations, and countless souls, among them your own family members, dragged away from the true church by modernists who have come to destroy Christ's church. Countless injustices perpetrated all throughout the world, not just here in America, but everywhere, both temporally and spiritually. Injustice is all around us. And one, in a moment of weakness, might be tempted to say, where is God during all of this? But that's exactly what the strong, powerless one wants us to do, isn't it? That's what he wanted Holy Job to do. We're reading about him in the breviary this week. He wanted Job to curse God, to question God and all of his reasons for doing. You see, Satan was given power to destroy all of Job's possessions in one single day. His oxen, his sheep, his camels, all of his children, his health, everything. It was all ripped away from him in one single day. Who would not be tempted to question God? Why? But this holy servant of God said only, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But unlike Job, although very similarly, to the sons of thunder, the apostles James and John, we are oftentimes tempted to turn to our Lord in times of injustice and of trial to say, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Well, do you know the backstory behind that? Well, it all came about because when our Lord and the apostles went into Samaria, the Samaritans did not welcome our blessed Lord. They did not receive him warmly at all. And the apostles did not like the way that the Samaritans mistreated him. We're not sure exactly what was done, but it must have been quite bad. The apostles were so angry at this injustice towards our Lord that they wished to call down fire literally upon the Samaritans to utterly and to completely destroy the Samaritans. But do you know how our Lord, the actual victim of that maltreatment, acted? He didn't call down fire from heaven. He didn't strike them dead. He had every right to, and all the power to do so. Instead, he rebuked his disciples, and he told them, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In fact, he backed up his words by his own actions. We read about it just two Sundays ago when he healed the 10 lepers. As he was going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast, he passed through Samaria. He did it on purpose. And if you remember, one of the lepers that was healed was a Samaritan. And that very fact was mentioned in the gospel, specifically mentioned, to show how Christ, even after he was received poorly in Samaria and was shut out of their towns, how he wished to do good to a Samaritan, that is, to return kindness for the ill treatment that he had received. Imagine that. But that is God's way. And so when we see injustices in the world going unpunished, when the evildoers get off scot-free, don't be surprised or shocked or scandalized, because the triumph of God's justice is very seldom seen in this life. If, after God himself was treated so unjustly, he repaid it with an act of kindness, then don't trouble yourself when your unjust persecutors, and sinners in general, go unpunished in this life. That is often just God's way. To show kindness and patience to the sinner, to offer mercy to the wretched malefactors in this world. Well, this life is, after all, the time of grace and of mercy. And who are we to question God's ways? Now, I know that I'll be asked this question at some point today, so I'll answer it beforehand. I'm not justifying the evil that takes place here in this world, nor am I saying that evildoers shouldn't receive a just punishment, or even that you should not be angry at the injustices perpetrated. After all, St. Thomas Aquinas does say that he who is not angry when there is just cause for anger is immoral. He goes on to say, why? Because anger looks to the good of justice. And if you can live amid injustice without anger, you are immoral as well as unjust. But here's my point. So many of us just live our lives in a miserable state of bitterness, brooding and brooding over the injustices in the world. Some of us can think of nothing but retribution, revenge, even going as far as hating or unjustly treating or even judging an entire race, for example, or an entire country for the sins of a few. Poor, poor people who get this embittered. If only they remembered that this life is really a time of grace and of mercy. If only more people remembered how much God loves a soul. Yes, even a Dr. Fauci, or a Jorge Bergoglio, or a Donald Trump, or a Biden, or a Hitler, that he will endure the sins committed against himself in order to give them, the malefactors, the sinners, time to repent. His desire, and we should never forget this, God's desire is that all of these men should, after repentance, spend eternity in heaven with him. Do you ever think of that? As you're condemning them and wishing fire down from heaven? God is willing to endure injustice to himself. But you and me, we cannot so much as tolerate the slightest unjust treatment towards ourselves. We almost wish the death of the sinner and that his memory be blotted out from the face of the earth. But if God treated you as you wish he would treat communists and modernists and Faucis and wicked politicians, then you long ago would have been sent to the pits of hell. In this life, you see, we do not often get to see the triumph of God's justice. Oh, his justice will have its day. Rather, in this life, we get the opportunity to see the triumph of God's mercy. And we see such a triumph in today's gospel. As our Lord came into the beautiful city of Nain, it seems almost as if he just accidentally happened upon the funeral procession, but we know that God plans these things from all eternity. The only son of a widow had died and was being carried in procession to be buried. And Christ, seeing this, he had compassion on the widow, stopped the procession in its tracks, and with a single command, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." The son immediately sat up and began to speak. Now, St. Ambrose and others, they say that the dead son symbolizes all of those who have fallen into mortal sin and have lost the life of grace in their soul. And the young man's sitting up and speaking symbolizes the return of the life of sanctifying grace in his soul. See how even after God has been offended mortally, he goes in pursuit of the offender and wishes to raise him back to the life of grace. God, in his mercy and his goodness, gives as many opportunities and as much time as he wishes for sinners, even the worst of sinners, but it is for the purpose of correcting their ways. He even gave Judas many an opportunity, calling him friend, even after he gave our Lord the kiss of betrayal. And while God gives time and extends mercy, often at that very same time, we are clamoring for fire to come down and to destroy the sinner. Yet, don't we have our own sins? They might not be as public as that of the politician or dictator. They might not harm as many people as, say, the abortionists. But they do offend the infinitely good and loving God. And they are the cause and reason why God was crucified. And perhaps, just perhaps, someone else in this world has been tempted to ask God to rain down fire upon you for the injustices that you have shown to others. And yet God has still shown nothing but mercy to you. Even when he sends you a sickness or takes something precious from you, it is done for the sake of mercy. Now, perhaps I'm rambling a little bit or getting a little off track, but to get back on track, why does God seemingly stand by and permit so many injustices to happen in this world while we must endure them and can do nothing about them? Well, first, it is for the sanctification of the elect. Evildoers always give us the opportunity to practice virtue, for example, that of patience, or the virtue of long-suffering or meekness. They give us reason to pray, and certainly to forgive. It does say in the book of Psalms, "The sinner shall borrow and not pay again, but the just showeth mercy and shall give." And our Lord does say in St. Matthew, "Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute you." But he also seems to stand by and watch for the sake of the sinner. because this life is meant to be the time of grace and mercy, where God gives time for the sinner to turn back to Him. Now, to conclude, today's Mass text, it has many references to God's mercy. Look through it again. The introit, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." The gradual, "It is good to give praise to the Lord, to show forth thy mercy in the morning." In the collect, we ask that God, through His pity and mercy, defend the church. And the gospel, of course, shows His mercy towards the sinner. It is as if the church today is reminding us that she does see, that God does see what is going on in the world. And that when we see injustice or when we have to suffer at the hands of another, we ought not to complain, but say rather, "Lord, I deserve to suffer these things, for I have sinned." And remember that God does see all, that justice will be done, but that now is the time of mercy, and that God's one desire is to see that baby killer, that dictator, the communist, convert, repent of his sin, and be with him in heaven. Do not question why God permits injustice to exist for so long. It is for the sake of mercy that he does it. Rather, pray for the conversion of the unjust and use the time to make up for your own sins. We might not see justice triumph here, but we do get to see God's mercy triumph. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.